Good afternoon. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, filling in for Bill. I hope you had a great weekend. Bill had surgery on Friday, told me this morning he had a very restful night after a couple of rough days, and we look forward to having him back in this seat very soon. We are streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the programs from the past anytime, 24/7, at four locations. Those are TucsonSentinel.com, buckmastershow.com, TucsonCitizen.com, and now you can find a link at gvnews.com, the home of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. We're going to get going with a Monday political face-off with commentators John Munger, a Tucson attorney and former candidate for Arizona governor, and Tucson attorney Paul Eckerstrom, who is vice chair of the Pima County Democrats. At 12:30, we're going to be talking about a new campaign in Green Valley designed to go after people pulling all sorts of scams from internet to snail mail. And a bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about foster care in Pima County. The Monday Face-Off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and operated since 1985. Moe's, specializing in custom frame mirrors and art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge or at moesgallery.com. Welcome, gentlemen.
Yeah. Welcome. Thanks.
You.
Good to see you, Dan.
Good to have you here. Tomorrow is the primary election, but a lot of things have changed with how we go to the polls, including the fact that a lot of people have already voted. How has early voting changed the way candidates are going after after votes, John?
Well, you have to pretty well finish up your campaign or have it well underway by the time early voting starts. So you need to be in a position where you've convinced a large number of voters already before they go to and vote their early ballots. And that means that more money is spent in the campaign for PR and other things earlier in the campaign, and probably means that you need more money for the campaign because you've got to sustain a higher level of advertising for a longer period of time. So I think it has made campaigns more expensive.
Okay, Paul?
Yeah, I agree. It has made it more expensive. You're exactly right, John. It's extended the period of time where you have to do advertising and get out the vote efforts. And compared to what it used to be, you know, that last weekend and leading up to it, you get your volunteers out to get out the vote and spend some money doing that and then hit the airwaves the last couple weeks or a month. And now it's 2 months' worth of ads that you have to run. One of the things that is kind of intriguing about these primaries is the early ballots went out August 2nd, and there's a lot of people that aren't in Tucson prior to August 2nd because they're getting away from the heat and having their vacations. So it's hard to actually do a persuasive campaign on ads and mail and things like that prior to August 2nd in Tucson because everybody's fleeing the summer heat. And so in these primaries, it's a little bit strange how you time it for a lot of the campaigns. You could spend a lot of money in the summer leading up to the early balloting, but a lot of people don't see it because they're not here.
Is there a certain type of voter that votes early consistently?
Well, I think there are a lot of voters. I myself vote early regularly just because on the day of the polling, I don't want to be – I may be busy and don't want to have to necessarily go to the polls. And so I think a lot of people like myself have opted for automatic early voting. And, you know, I don't think it's a particular kind of person. I think that there are a lot of people who find it very convenient, myself included.
I think that's true. And more and more people find it convenient, and it's – a higher percentage of people each election cycle since it's kind of become okay to vote early is taking advantage of it. I like to vote early, but I like to vote early going into an early polling place because it feels like an election day voting still. I don't like to vote by mail. And one of the things people should understand is if you haven't got your ballot in by Friday in the vote by mail, you can still vote. You just have to bring your ballot into a polling place, any polling place, to drop it off by tomorrow during tomorrow's voting. And if for some reason you lost your early ballot and haven't been able to vote, you can go into your polling place and ask for a provisional ballot, and you still can vote.
Right. There's a lot of nervousness about early voting for people who haven't tried it, but I know a lot of people who have. That's what they like. Mm-hmm. What about social networking, Twitter, Facebook? What role are these playing in the way a campaign rolls out?
I think the main thing social networking does is, one, younger voters seem to appeal to them more. So it helps a little bit in terms of getting the younger vote out. But most of it is just getting your base excited about your campaign and getting people who might give you money or volunteer their time during the campaign. It's a way to organize them more than anything else. I think, you know, social media has been blown out a little bit out of proportion in terms of being a persuasive tool to convince voters to vote for you. It's mostly to organize people who already support you.
Yeah, I think. I agree with that. I don't think that social media is particularly persuasive, but it does have two other purposes. One is voter ID. If you're on Facebook, for example, and you're constantly seeing a name of a candidate come up from people, you're not probably going to just automatically take their viewpoint, but you're going to be interested in why are these people interested in that candidate. So you have voter identification, which is a big part of a campaign, is getting your candidate identified, and name recognition. The second part is exactly what Paul has described, which is organizing your campaign workers and internal campaign communications, and that's huge. Yeah. And that is principally where it's used.
Yeah. But in the end, though, does it actually get younger people out to the polls?
I don't think so. I think you know, younger people historically have not voted in great numbers, and I don't think they're going to vote in great numbers this election. I think they did in 2008 because they were very excited about Barack Obama. Whether that happens now, I'm not here to argue. But typically, they don't vote with very good frequency, and I don't think they're going to just because they see somebody's name on Facebook.
Yeah, one of the things younger voters are always difficult to get them excited to vote. But if there's a reason that they get excited to vote, like a particular candidate intrigues them, like a Barack Obama in 2008. I think social media is a way to get the word out about that candidate to those voters, because that's where they get a lot of their information on social networking. So there is that. But, you know, again, like John said, they're hard to get out to vote, and there has to be a reason, something that excites them to get them out to vote.
Yeah.
That's the first step. And then deliver that information to them. I think social media does play a role there.
Good. Yeah. And the question really would be, is time wasted on social media? But in the end, it's inexpensive to do. So it's worth at least to
get. Yeah, I don't think it's wasted. I think you can you do get some voter recognition, name ID, and I think that's important.
And it's a great organizational tool to get your support base out there working for you.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it works for things like events. Anymore, I'm sure, Paul, it's the same in the Democratic Party. We don't do mailers for events, which cost a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. We send out emails, which saves us a lot of money for invitations. That's a very major factor.
Yep.
Good. I want to hit a little bit closer to home here as a newspaper guy, just from the gut and don't hold back. Not that you would. Newspaper endorsements, do they matter anymore?
No. I'm sorry to tell you, Dan, they don't matter any more than political endorsements matter much. The only endorsement I've seen recently that meant anything to anybody was when, I think it was significant, when John Kyle came out and endorsed Jeff Flake recently. I don't think John McCain's endorsement means anything. I think it's very and most voters don't want to know what somebody else thinks. They want to form their own opinion. So I don't think they're interested in newspaper endorsements, nor are they interested in endorsements by other candidates unless it's somebody they really, really, really like.
I agree with John in a sense, but readership is dropped among newspapers, but I think a newspaper endorsement matters for the readers of the newspaper in those down ballot races, in the races where people don't have as much information about it, maybe a state representative race.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I think he's right on that.
The bigger ones like Senate or Congress or president, they don't care. But the down ballot ones, because they'll form their own opinion on those. They got
right
enough information.
That.
But those down ballot races, it makes a difference. And some of these initiatives that are a little bit complex to understand, that makes a difference on those as well.
Yeah, it does.
Well, briefly, in defense of the industry, sure, fewer – yeah, I had to do it. Fewer people are reading print newspapers, but more people than ever before are reading what newspapers produce. It's just how they are getting the news, and a lot of them are doing it online, where of course we can't make as much money. But
yep, that's right.
But you know, off the air, Paul, earlier you had talked about earlier in the 20th century the role of newspapers versus in the later part of the 20th century, where they became much more objective and weren't going to bat for candidates nearly as much. But then we are today, and you feel like there might be a turn back toward many newspapers, in a sense, just tossing away objectivity.
Yeah, I would say media in general. I think the newspapers are keeping their objectivity a little bit more than like maybe in the TV media. But I think there's polarization in the camps among the media, as well as what's happened in the country between you know, left-leaning or right-leaning candidates and political parties. You know, in the early 20th century, you know, there was the yellow journalism, and that each newspaper was owned by particular folks who had a particular agenda. And I think in the second part of the 20th century, it became much more objective and more journalistic ethics involved. Not that it was pure, but I think we're kind of moving back to what happened at the earlier part of the 20th century. And I don't think that necessarily is a good thing. I think that second part of the 20th century was good for voter information and unbiased objective reporting.
I think that's been fairly typical, though, throughout the history of the Republic. I mean, all the way back to the George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson. I mean, there was one newspaper on one side and another newspaper
that's
on another side.
Sure.
And I frankly don't see any major difference. There are peaks and valleys, but generally speaking, media is going to take sides.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. We are going to catch you on the other side of the break here. We'll be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Welcome back to the Monday Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, or moesgallery.com. Moe's has everything for you. Custom frame mirrors, wall art. Hey, they'll even come out to your home to do whatever it takes to get the job done. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I'm Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and I'm with Paul Eckerstrom and John Munger on the Buckmaster Show's Monday Face-Off. And we're talking about the primary election, which is tomorrow. John, what are a couple of the races that we need to be looking at tomorrow? What might be tight?
Well, on the Republican side, there's a couple of interesting races. The race between Will Cardin and Jeff Flake for the U.S. Senate is a very interesting race. And I haven't seen any recent polling on that. I think another extremely interesting race will be the race between Ray Carroll and Sean Collins, who's running to replace Ray Carroll in District 4, Pima County Supervisor's race. Very interesting race. To my knowledge, there's been no polling on that. And, there's sort of a movement out there amongst a lot of people to remove Ray Carroll. I don't know whether the power of that movement, but I must tell you, virtually everybody I have talked to that comes up to me and asks me what we engage in conversation says they're going to vote for Sean Collins. It's very interesting.
Well, that's interesting. Ray's covers Green Valley, so we talk to him all the time. And I got to tell you, you either like him or you don't like him as far as voters go. Sean Collins, they just don't know him, frankly.
Well, they don't. But he's just a delightful guy. He's a retired Air Force, has his own business now. Is just a wonderful, sweet guy. The big issue is Sean Collins is in favor of the Rosemont Mine, and Ray Carroll has been adamantly against the Rosemont Mine, doing everything he can to kill it. And I think that's a big issue for a lot of people. Okay. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree. That's one to watch. I'm a little concerned because Ray is kind of more moderate in tone as a Republican. Very fiscally conservative, but on the environmental issues, he's more. Democrats kind of like him for that reason. But this whole Rosemont thing kind of bothers me that a Canadian company comes in and starts mucking around in our elections. And frankly, Sean Collins was recruited by them.
No, that's not right, Paul. I was there. Yeah, I've been there. That's not true.
You know, John, I know you're supporting Sean Collins. I don't quite get it because Ray supported you in your governor's race. I mean, is loyalty dead in politics these days?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
That's my understanding.
No,
is
he backed out. He started to, and then he backed out. But no, I will tell you, Sean Collins got in that race without having spoken at all to the people at Rosemont. He never did that. Rosemont, and I can tell you this personally, they did not recruit him.
Yeah,
he made the decision himself independently.
I have to say, I think Rosemont's made a huge mistake in terms of all of this, and frankly, they hired Randy Graff to be their spokesperson, who frankly is a right-wing Republican, and a lot of Democrats would be supportive of the Rosemont mine, I think, if they didn't have some of that taint, because you know Democrats support labor. Rosemont's a labor union company, and the steelworkers are supporting them. But you know, there's a lot of a split in that community down there in Green Valley, and also in the area where Rosemont's going in, because of water issues, and it's a mess.
Well,
I just don't like the way Rosemont's throwing their weight around.
Well, I don't think they're throwing their weight around. I'll tell you, I have done a poll, and this was done in February, about in that district. About the Rosemont mine, whether you're in favor or against the Rosemont mine. And the vote was – the polling was 61% in favor of the Rosemont mine and 38% against. So the people in that district are heavily in favor of the Rosemont mine.
You know, and that's an interesting point. The first couple of years I was down here, and I've been down in this area for 3.5 years. First couple of years, I could not find anybody, literally, who supported the Rosemont mine, or at least would go on the record. And this is down in the Green Valley and Sahuarita area. Last week, we led a couple of forums down in Rio Rico and Congressional District 3, which is Raul Grijalva's district. There are six candidates. He was the only one who does not support the mine of the six candidates, and I found that was very interesting.
You know, that just the power of the amount of money that Rosemont has spent in terms of PR here, and my trouble with the Rosemont mine is more than anything else. It's a Canadian company who's coming in here, taking our ore out of our mountains, and shipping it to Mexico to smelt. There's jobs when you smelt, but they're shipping it to Mexico to smelt, and they're going to ship it over to China in the form of copper. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute.
How do you know they're going to ship it to China?
You know, here's my problem. Here's my problem. It's American ore that they're taking from us and profiting from.
Paul.
Why are we doing that?
Are you saying that all the American mines that are in all the foreign countries around the world, that those are wrong too? This is a global economy. We need to get over this protectionism. You don't know that where the copper is going to be sold to China. It's going to be sold on the market. It's going to satisfy the market. And the market may be here. It may be in a lot of places. We need to get past this, you know, closing in on America. You're basically saying, well, if it were an American mining company, it'd be fine. Well, what difference does it make?
Okay, we've got less than 2 minutes left. I know we wanted to get into this last topic here. The Open Primary Initiative, it's still alive, but just barely. It's on life support. They've had some problems down there. Is this initiative a threat to the power of the two dominant political parties? Why do people not like it?
Well, among the parties, and I'm a partisan, so I'll just say it. I don't mind their motives of getting more moderate positions and moderate candidates in. And trying to increase independence voting in the primaries. But I think it creates a monster in that it's happening in California. They passed this, and there's different – it works on both sides where you get these scenarios, and there's Congressional District 31 in California. There, it's a heavily Hispanic, heavily Democratic district. There was 5 Democratic Hispanic candidates that ran. Only 2 Republicans ran. And guess what? The 2 Republicans were the top vote getters because the Democrats split their vote. And as a result, it's going to be represented by a Republican, probably a white Republican, not somebody who's in tune with the constituents in that area. And it happens – flip it, and it's happened in another district there where the Democrats are probably going to end up representing a fairly heavily Republican district.
Yeah, and it could also be a deal where you – have 4 candidates running, 2 – let's say it's a Democratic district and you have 2 Democrats running and 2 Republicans running. The top 2 vote-getters are going to get to be the 2 Democrats, and you're never going to hear from the conservative voice.
Right.
So, I mean – and that could work the other way around as well. It's just not a good idea. It's not a threat to the parties. The parties are going to be fine. It's a threat to the public. And frankly, this whole goal of trying to moderate – views. My view is the democratic system is not pretty in its operations.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole concept of moderation is just an excuse for indecision.
Okay. There's,
people need to get involved and make decisions. That's the way democracy works.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. We're going to have to wind it up here. This has been the Monday Face-Off with Paul Eckerstrom and John Munger, brought to you by Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing, specializing in custom-framed mirrors and art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging systems. Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, or at MohsGallery.com. We'll be right back after the news.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Republicans have gaveled open their convention in Tampa, Florida. Party Chairman Reince Priebus today banged the gavel on an abbreviated first-day session as the threat of Tropical Storm Isaac forced the GOP to cram 4 days of speeches and videos into 3 days. Federal officials say the updated levees around New Orleans are equipped to handle storms that are stronger than the one that's now approaching from the Gulf of Mexico. Florida's former Republican Governor Charlie Crist says he'll be a speaker next week at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. Crist announcing yesterday that he had endorsed President Obama. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 19 points, the Nasdaq trading 3 points higher, the S&P currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics, created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Thank you.
It's 12:34 p.m., and I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster today. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Arts, hiking, birding, Silver City's historic downtown. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico make a wonderful and cool mountain weekend getaway for the upcoming Labor Day week. And there are plenty of great places to stay, including Casitas de Gila Guesthouse, Cottage of the Whispering Canyon, or the Faywood Hot Springs Ranch. For more information, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. I am joined now by Lou Sampson, who serves in Green Valley with the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, which works to assist the Pima County Sheriff's Department in our neck of the woods. Lou, welcome.
Thank you, Dan, for inviting me.
Let's put it out there. We have got a big problem down in Green Valley.
Yes, we do. We are being inundated by scams using numerous and different approaches. A hot one right now is Microsoft. If you get a call from Microsoft saying that they have detected a virus in your computer, please go to your computer and turn it on because we can fix it remotely. And these guys are professionals. They are good. They sound like they're techie. They sound like they're right from Microsoft. And what Absolutely. They will do is they will say, okay, please get into your Internet Explorer now and we will check for viruses in your Internet. Once they do that, they will mine all the information you have in there. They're specifically looking for bank accounts, credit card numbers. They've got your email list. They've got information that is valuable to you and they know how to use it.
So they're getting control of your computer remotely.
Total control.
And they're just getting everything that you've got in there.
Yes, and please know that Microsoft does not call to solicit, never calls to solicit business.
And oddly enough, we received at my home this call just the other day. And if you show any sense of being unsure, uncertain, they will absolutely go for the jugular on this.
That's what they do.
Right.
And that's why we have this three-prong approach that we've developed in Green Valley: hang up, delete, and shred. Because if you give them any scintilla that you are interested in this, that you are vulnerable, they will go after you. And they will get some information and they can sell that to somebody else. And it just goes on and on and on.
And this is part of a new program that you have helped to develop. It's called the Scam Squad. It's part of the Pima County Sheriff's Department and it has absolutely taken off in Green Valley.
I have to say it does because we are vulnerable. We are a vulnerable population.
Absolutely.
They target a retired area. And they know most of us are grandmothers and grandfathers, and that's a common scheme down there.
Sure.
Getting a call from your grandson and saying, oh, grandma, I'm in trouble, and blah, blah, blah. And they rip your heart out.
Right.
And if you don't wire that money in an hour and a half, I'm going to be thrown in jail. Well, you just run down to the bank. But I'll tell you, in Green Valley, our banks, our Western Unions, our post office is in on this. And they are really telling people, wait a minute, you might want to think about that. Call your grandson first.
And just since the Scam Squad has been up and running, you guys have had a lot of successes. But there are still a lot of people who are getting ripped off down there. And sometimes we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. Tell us a couple of the stories that you've heard.
I can tell you one story that is just broke my heart was a lady that got caught in the Nigerian scam.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did is this man called from Nigeria and she said, oh, my father was there during World War II. And right after the war, the U.S. government sent him over there to help build orphanages and schools. And don't you know, this scammer said, oh, I grew up in one of those orphanages and I grew up in that school and I'm so grateful and I need this money to help now. I've got some money and I can send you $1 million and I can pay you back. Well, he got not only her savings account, she had to sell her house and she died destitute.
Unbelievable.
Died destitute.
Unbelievable. And in my time down in Green Valley, I have frankly become very protective of the population down there. And we have some tremendous folks. But as you say, we have some who are very vulnerable also.
Yes. And as we age, our social filters diminish. Our ability to make decisions quickly diminishes. And these guys know that, and they want a decision now. They want it now, quick.
Right.
And that's what they're playing on.
Right, and they're pushing.
And
the success rate is huge, and we don't really even understand how successful they are because a lot of people, frankly, are embarrassed and never come forward.
That's right. They won't report it. And so if you had your car stolen, or if you had somebody break into your house and steal your computer or TV or jewelry, you would report that to the police. There's a small chance that we can recover that lost property. But if you lose money to a scam, $2,500, $3,800, $100,000, we're not going to be able to retrieve that because it's out of the country. It's gone.
Exactly.
It's gone. So the only way we can stop this is through prevention. And by educating people, that's what we're trying to do in Green Valley.
And, you know, for years, of course, the Attorney General's office has their fraud division and this type of stuff. But frankly, for this population, you needed someone who was going to be a listening ear on the other end of the line, and they were going to come out to your house. They were going to hear the scam that you'd been pulled into or almost been pulled into. And now we have this, and again, it's just absolutely exploding. How can we get this type of a program, the Scam Squad, beyond Green Valley's borders?
Well, we plan on taking it beyond Green Valley.
Great.
Because we've already gotten calls from AHO. Their Sheriff's Auxiliary volunteers wants to know what we're doing. We're getting calls from different places, and I'll tell you, we have had really good support from our lieutenant and sergeant that are in Green Valley. They really are supporting this because we're so vulnerable. But I think we're putting together now a PowerPoint presentation that we're starting next month. And the sergeant plans on taking it around Green Valley. So we will be available to do that.
Exactly. And it's education.
That's right.
You know, we have deemed this at the newspaper so important that we have given you a weekly column. And it is so gratifying to hear that people read that and they thwart a scam.
They really do. We get a lot of calls. We've asked people to call even when they haven't lost money.
Absolutely.
And what we do is we go visit those people and we take them our information and we sit down and say, we know you haven't lost any money, but what we're counting on is for you to share this with your neighbors. And we have a patrol car out front and maybe your neighbor across the street's going to come over and say, okay, what were the cops doing over there?
Mm-hmm.
And you can share it with them because we can't visit everybody in Green Valley. So we are collaborating with the population there to help us get the word out.
Tell me a little bit about the training that the people who are involved in the Scam Squad undergo. How do you know what to be looking for? Because seems to be always something new around the corner.
There is always something new. We don't even have to look for it. They're calling us.
Right.
And it has been there for years and years and years, and we just didn't know quite how to handle it. You know, we could tell people about identity theft, that there's scams out there, but I think this extra time that we're taking, when we take a report, we don't do it over the phone anymore. We go to their house, and we take the report and give them this extra information and say, please, share this with your neighbors and explain exactly how many scams are going on and how much money is leaving Green Valley every year.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not just Green Valley. We have up in Sahuarita had the Latino community targeted recently it's almost like the grandson, granddaughter scam where it's been a long-lost cousin who's at the border trying to get over from Mexico and, oh, I need $1,200. And then they'll hang up and then a lawyer will call. And boy, it sounds so real.
They are. They sound so real. And I've had people say that when their grandson called, well, it didn't sound like you. Well, Grandma, I've got a cold.
Exactly.
And that's what's
right.
Wrong. So they have an answer for everything. And if these guys weren't making money, they wouldn't be doing it. I've read the stats where $2.9 billion was out of this country. And that's all we know in 2010.
Right.
And 20% of people over 65 have been taken by a scammer. That's huge.
That is an unbelievable number. Just unbelievable. I am with Lou Sampson. She is with the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers with the Pima County Sheriff's Department down in Green Valley. They have done some absolutely tremendous work down there, and we look forward to you being able to reach out, help more people. And if there are anybody who's associated with some sort of a Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteer type group or whatever, you guys are willing to go out and share the program with them.
Absolutely. We are available for anyone. We're going to assisted living homes.
Okay, great.
Because if you have a telephone, if you have an email, if you have mail, U.S. mail, you are a target for these guys. It comes in all different shapes and sizes.
Absolutely. And these guys are experts, and being up against them is real tough. Well, now we have someone who's going to stand with you. And again, I appreciate the work that you do, Lou, and the SAV down in Green Valley. And I just hope that this thing really spreads, because you saw a need and you've addressed it. So thank you for being here. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Dan, for inviting us.
Thank you. We're going to be back after a couple of commercials.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Dan Shear. I'm the editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and I'm sitting in for Bill, who is taking off the week to recover from some surgery. We certainly wish him well. We are now going to turn our attention to the issue of foster care and related topics here in Pima County. We have two guests with us. Jill LaBrie is a recruiter with Pima County's court-appointed special advocate program, and Michaela Luna is chairwoman of FACT, the Foster and Adoptive Adoptive Council of Tucson. She also works for Rise Family Services as a Family Services Supervisor. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Michaela, foster care in Pima County, we understand that in some cases we've actually got children sleeping in the offices of CPS workers. Are we in crisis mode here?
Absolutely. We currently have approximately 3,400 children in care here in Pima County. And unfortunately, CPS has a very hard job that they have to do regarding should they remove a child from an unsafe situation. And oftentimes, when CPS does have to make the decision about removing a child from an unsafe environment, the result is that they have to sleep in a CPS office because of the lack of foster homes available in Pima County.
Okay, very good. Jill, tell us a little bit about WCASA. I know they represent a lot of groups that help children. Tell us a little bit about the mission.
The Court-Appointed Special Advocate Program is a group of professionally trained volunteers who act as advocates for all of those 3,400 kids in the foster care system that are going through the dependency process with the courts. They are the eyes and the ears for the judge and advocate for those kids' best interests.
Okay, so the fact is that there are more kids in the system. A figure I saw was that it was up 58% from 2011, but there are fewer families that are acting as foster parents. Why is this the case, Michaela?
Well, there's a number of reasons why the numbers are so low regarding the amount of licensed foster homes in Pima County. There are families who are closing their license due to an adoption, or the child is reunified with their birth family, or they just choose not to renew their license because they don't have the supports that they believe that they need. So the number of families who are being licensed continues to be steady, but that same number it's very close for the number of families who are closing. So instead of us keeping the families that we currently have licensed and increasing the amount of new licensed foster homes, we're kind of just staying at a steady rate. It's not increasing, it's not decreasing, but our goal is for us to have enough foster homes for every child in care to be in a family type setting.
And it's important that the children are able to stay as close to their original residences as possible, and in some cases that you want them to change schools or you want them to have access to other relatives or a support system.
Absolutely. Children, when they're removed from their parents, they experience so much trauma and disruption in their lives. And if we can keep them in their same school, if we can keep them going to their same park, the same YMCA, going to the same restaurant that's their favorite restaurant they enjoy going to, that's going to give them the normalcy that they really need to continue to develop and feel safe and happy and nurtured. And so the role of school, the school districts and the city is very important in understanding that these children really deserve normalcy as much as we can give to them, and their support is very much needed as well.
Very good. Well, it's 12:52 here on the Buckmaster Show, and a reminder that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Learn more about Splendido over breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30 a.m. RSVP and say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show to 762-4090. That's 762-4090. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. I am here with Jill Labrie with the Pima County Court-Appointed Special Advocate Program and Michaela Luna, who is the chairwoman of FACT, the Foster and Adoptive Council of Tucson. And Jill, what does an advocate do?
Well, as Michaela was talking about, the kid keeping things as normal for the kids as possible. As a court-appointed special advocate, the advocates advocate for the child's best interest. So as few moves as possible, you can advocate for those sorts of things. Looking at the programs that the child is involved in, making sure that they're getting the appropriate services and we're not having to move from place to place. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, kids that have advocates spend about a third to half as time in foster care as kids who don't. And unfortunately, you know, we've got 3,000 kids in the foster care system right now. We have about 150 kids that have advocates.
So this is a way to get involved for people who are interested in this without actually being a foster parent. And a lot of people think that that's pretty much all you can do, but there's really so much more you can do to help out kids.
Absolutely. This is a great option for people who want to help out, who want to make a difference in a child's life, and aren't able or aren't willing to be a foster parent at this point in time. It's a wonderful way for them to get involved, and we definitely have the need. Our goal for all of us is to have kids where they belong and all of them have advocates.
Terrific. And for people who are interested, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
You can go to casaofarizona.org or you can call our office directly at 520-740-2060.
Okay. Give that number again, if you would.
520-740-2060.
Okay. Very good. Michaela, foster adoptive parent, exactly what does it mean? Say I'm thinking about it, but I have no idea what's all involved.
Well, for people in the community who want to learn more about foster care or adopting a child, we host two orientations twice a month on the second Tuesday of the month at the Pima County Juvenile Court Center Training Room, and that is at 6 o'clock. And we also do a noontime orientation on the fourth Tuesday of the month at La Paloma Family Services at 870 West Miracle Mile. And if you attend the orientation, you can meet all of the 14 licensing agencies who provide foster and adoption services in Pima County. These 14 licensing agencies do make up the Foster and Adoptive Council of Tucson. So we're a collaborative council of licensing agencies here in Pima County who work together to license foster homes. And so you can get information about becoming a foster adoptive parent. You can learn about the supports provided. You can learn about what are the basic requirements that you would have to fulfill. And then you can ask any additional questions that you might have at that orientation to any agency that you feel comfortable with.
Is there a particular geographic area of need right now?
A couple of years ago, we were targeting particular zip codes that had the highest number of removals, and so we were trying to recruit in those zip codes so that we could keep kids in their same schools and their parks and all of that. However, the need has just become so great that we need to recruit in Pima County wherever we can find people who are willing to be foster parents. So there are specific zip codes in Pima County that have the highest number of removals. However, it's come to a point where we just need more foster homes. So we are having to have a child placed in a home, say, for example, out of their zip code. But there are services in place that will transport a child to what we consider their home school so that they can continue to have that normalcy that we say is very important.
How unusual is it to actually have to take a kid out of the county?
It wasn't very typical probably a few months ago. However, with this current crisis that we're in, we are having to send children out of county if there are other counties who have licensed foster homes who are available to take children who are being removed. And so that is especially hard because most often children are coming into care and they're part of a sibling group. And so if one child, say for example, is going to Pinal County and another child is going to Cochise, then it's very hard for them to continue their sibling relationship because they are not seeing each other as often as they would be, say, for example, if they were in a foster home together or if they were at least here in Pima County together.
Very good. Jill LaBerie again. She is with Pima County's Court-Appointed Special Advocate Program. State budget cuts. How has this affected what you do at all, state and county?
We have worked very hard for any cuts that our program has taken to not affect the children and doing some of those kind of things, the recruiting and such. Our court is very, very supportive of the program, and they help us out. We most of our cuts, we have tried to make them so they're not direct impact on our volunteers or their children.
Okay, so the need right now is people. You need bodies.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. I am Dan Scheer with the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and I've been here with Jill Labrie. She's a recruiter for Pima County's court-appointed special advocate program, and Michaela Luna, chairwoman of the Foster and Adoptive Council of Tucson. I want to thank you guys very much for what you do for Tucson and for Pima County. Just important work.
Thank you.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. I want to thank you for spending your hour with us, and remember to get out and vote tomorrow and make it a great week, everybody.
K VOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.